ministry for a very long time. It's good to see some faces here today of people who have been with us before. Hi, Jeremiah. Just good to be with you again, people who have a Saturday morning to come and spend special time with the Lord. excuse me, I have a slight cough. I want to just go back again to our foundations, why we are here at all, just to say years ago the Lord called us to be Second Saturday, and our subtitle was Apart with You, Lord. And it's always been and always will be, however long it goes, a place to make room for God to be with us, to speak to us, for us to hear and share our hearts with Him. He makes all things new, and we are new creations, but so much of it happens in those moments when we're just alone with Him. So this year, our theme, which is becoming richer by the month, is called Beyond All Measure, and we're just steeping ourselves in the letters of Paul and how much of what he talks about is just the way more than we could ask or think that God has for us. So month by month, we're really coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, what more do you have for me? So the scriptures today and the fact that we're in Lent really lend themselves to the idea that we are earthen vessels and the treasure of the Lord is in us. And though we are earthen vessels, yet it's like we're a stable and He's born in us, and by His grace He uses us. And I'll just quickly read the scriptures that we are focused on today. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 7, and in 12, 7 to 10. These are familiar. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there really is a duality in what we're talking about today, both our weaknesses, as I said, like stables, but also that we are also the temples of the Holy Spirit. And God's value system is different than ours, as we see even by Him coming to us. The other, I think the most poignant representation of this, and will be threaded through the fact that Mary agreed to bear Jesus. And if there was ever a metaphor that applies to us that we can learn from, that would be the one. Her unlikely status, the impossible circumstances in which the Lord came to dwell in her. So two of us are speaking this morning, and I'm speaking about weakness in terms of our humanity, just who we are, that we're fragile little persons, and that there is a sense that our weakness we get special grace all the time just because we are human. And later Paul will talk about the grace that we need when we go off course, when we're damaged and we need repair work. But As I always do at the beginning of every month that I'm speaking, I ask the Lord to work in me whatever message he wants to bring through me. And he has never failed to diligently put me through the ringer in the month before Second Saturday. But it's always good. And it's not good at the time, but it's good when it's done. So I'm asking, and we are all asking, as the vessel is me, myself, I'm the vessel, and the treasure's in me, Lord, how could you use me to bear it? And the questions raised that he's talked to me about would be, is my vessel acceptable? Is it all that it can be? Am I carrying the treasure in the way that's pleasing to him? So the Lord, I guess the other metaphor that's really been meaningful to me is just the gestation of Jesus in the womb of Mary, and then his life as the son of Mary, that she also nurtured him until he was ready to carry out his ministry. So that's kind of where the Lord started with me, and it started with my need for a new piano, and it was a protracted waiting. I mean, I spent a lot of time on Craigslist and other places trying to find the right piano. And I did find one 3 weeks before I actually bought it, but I was very hesitant for different reasons to buy it. And so what I found was the Lord was asking me to have courage to even call this intimidating man at that store, to have the backbone to take action on this piano situation, and to ask him for wisdom and faith. I had just been praying, Lord, give me a piano. But he was involving me. And he started to say, as the pressure grew, he was saying to me often, just be yourself. And he said it about a lot of things, just be yourself. And it sort of came to a head when I went back to this piano store. I'll try to make this quicker. But I sat down at the same piano I had liked before. And after playing other pianos, especially digital ones, all I thought was, when I give to this piano, it gives back to me. The resonance is beautiful. I think maybe this is, even though it's twice the budget that I have, I think the Lord wanted me to get it. And so he began to then unfold this just be yourself thing. What was I drawn to, and what expressed my soul? What was coming back to me to affirm who I was? There was a sense that this activated a musical expression in me, and the others had stifled it. The clarity just began because I had to pay more than I wanted to, and it was the wrong size. And I just thought, Lord, But he began to speak to me about the gift of music he had given me, and that no matter the size of my gift, I was to start nurturing and investing in it more. That the money I needed, I had to have faith to rest in him, that my resources were measured by faith, and that pleased God. So as we talk about measures, that was a big one. My own design, the way he's made me, he just said, pay attention to my own responsiveness in this situation and what I bring to the dilemma. And because I was in a time pinch, and I think this is important, I began to take these things more seriously. If I hadn't been under pressure, this never would have happened. But it started kind of a journey of the Lord talking to me about my failure to become all I could be. And it's that gestational part where we come into the world with certain faculties. We come in with all the things we're going to have. There they are. But that doesn't mean we develop all of them. And the Lord just began to really speak to me about the things I had been hesitant to develop. And so I hope you resonate with some of these. If not, just wait for the next speaker. You'll resonate with him. If you're a really confident person, you can just take notes about something else. But I felt he was saying many need greater acceptance of the concept. Just there is a God-breathed purpose for me. There is something God has for me. And we're to approach with the trust of a child to a father who is generous, rather than as beggars or as people who are looking more at themselves than at God. It's just like he was saying, there are many of you who need to be more expectant about the purpose that I want to develop in you. We need to choose to believe that we have one because he said so in Ephesians 8-10. He said, you are my workmanship. I formed you in the womb. You are my workmanship. And I have made works that you're to walk in. So being ourselves is the treasure. The treasure is what we carry in God's spirit, but it has to be contained in a particular person. And nobody else will carry exactly what I carry of the treasure. My earthen vessel is different from yours. And just that concept again, there's something that we're created to do, and it's really easy, especially as you get older, to feel, been there, done that. We don't expect the fulfillment, I think, that we do as we're younger. But the Lord is saying to us today, make a change in how you look at this. If we embrace it, if we embrace the treasure and our personhood, we will begin to feed it more. It's all there, but it takes time for things to be birthed. And that time element is part of another part of what the Lord kind of put me through. But just the whole idea of letting things be nurtured so that they come into their fullness was the other thing that he kept pointing to. The parts and the potential are called forth to full development by the attention that we give them. There's the goodness of healthy nurture, and there's the repair work of what wasn't such healthy nurture. But one way or the other, the Lord will bring the whole of us forth if we will give him permission to do that. So nurturing what God is birthing. For me, it's sort of, there were steps, you know, this was just a period of 2 or 3 weeks, but one thing was my Bible study where we were talking about the story in 1 Samuel 14, where Jonathan decides, what he says is Jonathan and his armor bearer are on a high boulder. They're using their hands and feet to climb up to tackle to go to battle with the Philistines. And it's really a beautiful story if you read the whole thing of two brothers with all their trust in the Lord. And Jonathan says, it may be that the Lord will work for us for nothing. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. So the few was two. And the many was, it was like Mary and the womb. It was totally impossible. But he said he believed. And the armor bearer said, do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you heart and soul. And so Jonathan said to the armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet with his armor bearer after him. And at the end of our study, we always choose a symbol, and everyone chose the rock symbol. But to me, it was loud and clear. I could see those hands going one handhold at a time. And that was the theme that the Lord gave me. It was just the patience of nurture that comes from him. And it just means take the next step that he's giving you. So this is like central to the message. If we take the next step that he's giving us, we will come into the place of nurture and upbuilding that God has for us. Prolonged climbs can build faith. So I'm jumping to something that I think maybe all of us can relate to, the long climbs that we've had, the long roads that we've had. It can be what builds our faith more than anything else. Time can be a necessary factor in change. We have to learn endurance. It's a faith exercise, if nothing else. Small gains that matter. They add up. Time is often our friend and our teacher with hidden treasures. There is time to notice what God is about. There is time to ask our questions, both of ourselves and of the Lord. And there is an opportunity like nothing else to know ourselves and to know the Lord when we have to be on a long path with him. The process is refining what is rough, honing us, the essentials of what is important to us, and this is another measure of this day, is the value God puts on things that is different from ours. But when he gives us the long run, we start to, what's valuable in our lives rises to the top, and what isn't valuable falls away. He has a way of calling up our priorities when we're on the long nurture run with him. So the Lord did use his magnifying glass once more for me at the end of my piano escapade. It's not done yet, but there are keys that simply don't work in the center of the piano. I cannot avoid them. So I've called. It's under warranty. They're going to fix it soon, I hope. But as I was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and thinking, Lord, what is going on? I was just saying, there's no resonance coming from those keys. And it was just this silence. And I felt like he said, that's because I want you to see some keys that are not resonating in your life. I want, one way he measures our faithfulness and that we belong to him is if he hears back from us the things he's talking to us about. I've got it, Lord. Yes, I'm working on it. Yes, I repent. Yes, this is important. But it was just his way of magnifying. I thought I was working on these things, but I felt like he was just saying, no, this is not resonating the way I want it to, and I want you to pay attention, and I will repair that part of your life. So it's again, it was a time thing. If I'm still waiting for the guy to call, but I think I'm done with that lesson. I don't know. But we notice things. Strengthen our weakness and our human limits. I feel like this is important. I have more to say. I'm not going to get it all said. But I think the Lord wants us to know he knows that we are dust. He knows that we come to the end of ourselves and that his grace meets us at the end of our road when there's nothing more we have to offer or give. He's not always waiting for the next step from us. He does hear our cry, and he does come to us in our humanity with great grace, which was partly why we sang that song this morning. So as far as this weakness in our humanity, we need to offer our weakness to him, that it would not cause us to hold back, but become the temple, always available for him to glorify himself. And we may need help to do that, but to offer our weaknesses to the Lord is a great step of liberation. We must not let our weaknesses dictate our faith. It's a law and grace thing, but I think it's really a salient part of why we're talking about this. We can be so compensating for our perceived lacks that it becomes a law to us when we're trying to fill in for things that God is saying, no, if you'd let me develop you, it would all be out there. But we make our own laws of how we're going to present ourselves, or based on circumstances that we find ourselves in, like Mary, a 16-year-old unmarried woman being asked to bear a son. Like, how impossible is that? But when we look at ourselves, we'll find many things that we'll say, well, that's impossible, unless we count on him to keep at us and give him the right to develop us. We are continually being formed and called forth by the Lord, and we just have to get that. He's not done with us because we're turning 70. No, I already did turn 70, but it sort of didn't make a difference. He's kind of like, no, nothing, we're not done yet. So anyway, we should not and must not live out of our limitations and sense of our own competence. And I think that's just a huge invitation from the Lord. So this nurture piece, one of the images that I will carry with me, the Lord asked me to start investing more in my music as a result of that. He just told me that... wherever that is in my notes. Sorry. He just told me not to measure by outward measures and that I was to give my gift to him, that he's not going to make me a better musician, but he simply wanted to have that vessel more and more for his life to come through. And it was just for his sake that he highlighted that. But he's highlighted other things as well. And one thing was this ministry. The Lord, again, just said, because you're aging or because whatever, that doesn't mean you shouldn't keep investing much in this ministry. And I thought, well, I am investing. But I felt like he was just calling forth more. And I just saw a picture this past week as I was wondering what to do and what not to do. And I saw like my hands were a little nest. And it was a nurturing picture. And the Lord was saying, this is the main thing you hold. This ministry is the main thing I've given you to hold. And you, as a woman coming to give birth, kind of everything else falls aside until that baby is born. The Lord just said, make your main focus this week, second Saturday. It's the one main nurturing thing that I have called you to do, and I want you to give all your love to that. And I think that's part of just, he makes it easy for us. And we all, in some way, are a womb for something that the Lord wants us to feed. He forms his message in us, and it grows within us, and it grows within our lives to be birthed not for ourselves, but for the sake of other people. So the Lord doesn't want us to be enslaved to the treasure or the things he delivers through us, but to carry it lightly and just let him draw on us and to draw it forth in his own time. So Paul is going to speak, as I said, I'm not going to try to put it into a little phrase, but this is Paul Curry, and he's got a whole other take on this. Oh, you want this back in here, don't you?
Good morning. I had to write the time down so I don't speak too long. I just want you to know that probably we could just sing Fountain of Grace over and over and over again, and that would take care of everything that I'm going to say here. But it's in that spirit, and certainly in the spirit of all the text. From 1:1, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, we could probably just read the various portions of the text that applied, everything Chris is saying, everything I'm saying. But it is important to hear from our lives. And so I'm going to witness from within two episodes, one somewhat in the past and one current, to hopefully enflesh what we're talking about here this morning. Those of you who were with us in Second Saturdays last spring heard my wife, Jenny, and I witness to a process that God took us through. The focus of was our finances, being terribly in debt, but there were a whole lot of other things God was dealing with us, both as a couple, but individually in our lives, in that path. And in his grace and in his provision, we got out of debt. And it took 8 years. It could have taken a lot longer. But there were some unusual ways God's grace provided. But, of course, it was all from his provision. But it now is a place of remembering and reminding for us. It isn't over. We need to continue to remember God's provision and to have what he did for us as something that we remember in the other areas of our life where we are struggling. And so I'm going to lead to the next one, which is a current struggle for me. I deal with fear a lot. Around identity, it has a lot to do with it, about who I am. In fact, sometimes it's who am I? I don't trust my desires. I don't trust in any sense of what I sense I want. And I'm going to give you, in a couple of weeks ago in my study time, the Spirit reminded, I think led me to be reminded of an episode in my past. I was in fifth grade. We had moved to New York City. I'm a preacher's kid, the eldest of five. And we moved to Manhattan Island, and I was going to PS 169. I got invited to a birthday party, and went to this birthday party, and almost immediately there was going to be dancing in this party. Now, it's a bunch of fifth graders, but there's going to be dancing and the parents. And so I said, well, I can't do that. I can't dance. That's against my religion. And so I spent the entire party in a bedroom where all the coats were parked. And I spent a couple hours in there. In fact, they brought me a piece of cake and ice cream at some point in there to celebrate the birthday. I brought a gift, but I never saw it opened. And so the Spirit led me to this memory, I believe, the Spirit did lead me to this memory to say, Paul, that wasn't my word being spoken into your life. You responded to something that was not true. But the problem is, for me, I have decades of habituated responses in my life based on a sense of unworthiness, and not knowing who I am, and not trusting any of the desires in me, because it's like, well, that's got to be wrong, right? It's what I was told. I could give you many, many episodes, and I'm not going to waste time with that. But this sense of I can't trust who I am. And so I think the path that God has been bringing me through is an understanding of what that process is for me to break loose, to trust and know that who I am is in God, not based on feelings, not based on the lies, not based on these episodes and events in my life. It's based on the truth, both in the text and in the affirmation he gives me through the love of my wife, my children, friends, these dear people in all things new, many places. And he's saying to me, I need to extricate that from you. I read a quote recently. Instead of understanding there might be something wrong with the world, I decided there was something wrong with me. And I've lived in that quote for a long time. But God dwells in me. God dwells in me through the Spirit. I tabernacle the Holy God. So why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to release this? Well, often it's because my eyes are not on him. My eyes are on me. They're on my wounds, they're on my weaknesses, they're on my feelings. They're on these lies that continue in the Spirit's grace to be brought forth. Little red flags the Spirit's bringing up to say, no, Paul, that's one of those lies you're responding to. That's one of your old habituated responses you're responding to. Listen to me. Keep your eyes on me. And it's also a word from him where he's saying, even as you're struggling with this, I don't want your focus to be on yourself and on what I'm doing in you. I have you here to serve. I have you here to be my voice, my witness, my love, my face to others. So stop looking at your navel all the time. Open up. Trust me. You can give, even when you're struggling with this sense of who you are. Gotta move faster. God always desires my full transformation. He's always pruning, purifying, purging every last drop of sin's poisonous lies. He's also, because it's not just against, he's also strengthening my spiritual muscle, growing my heart into the kingdom servant heart every moment of every day. An image that came to me the other day about this was, it's like refinishing a really intricate, large piece of furniture. That's what God's doing. And it takes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours to refinish a piece of furniture to its beautiful original state, to get all the crust and grime.